I'm Georgie Crawford.
And I'm Claire Solan.
We've known each other for what feels like a lifetime, but our friendship has really soared in the last few years as we've navigated some really challenging times. Life is never easy, but what makes it much better is connecting with people who get you.
On Soul Sisters, we're going to tackle some of the curveballs that life throws at us and share our learnings as a life coach
and as a health coach.
We're here to have fun and to celebrate taking better care of our well-being.
And why we owe it to ourselves, Claire, to do the work. The Soul Sisters podcast is a Good Glow production brought to you with thanks to Vichy. Vichy is a doctor-founded skincare brand which has led the way in health and beauty innovation for 90 years. Powered by active ingredients, Vichy's products are clinically proven, hypoallergenic and dermatologically tested for sensitive skin, making them a pioneer in skin health science. You can rely on Vichy to provide a safe and effective skincare routine for you, no matter what your skin type or stage of life. All Vichy products are available in local pharmacies nationwide. Now let's get into Soul Sisters. Hello and welcome to Soul Sisters, the second episode of our brand new podcast. And today we wanted to open our podcast to pay our respects and reflect on the life of Ashley Murphy.
It's hard to know where to begin, isn't it? Really? When I heard about this last week, George, it stopped me in my tracks. It was nearly too much to take in.
And I think that's how everyone is feeling, Claire, across Ireland. I know you were at a vigil in London with a huge turnout. I think this has affected women all over the world. I was at a vigil myself on Friday in Bray, and there was a sense of absolute heartbreak, of anger. I feel like people are at a loss, and everywhere you go, it's all that people are talking about. And so many people came out for the vigils all over the country this weekend. And something that really struck me was listening to Aisling's friends. And one of her friends, her name was Grace Corrigan. And something she said at the vigil outside Leinster House really struck me. She said that Aisling was the kind of person who, if she asked how you were, she'd repeat it back to you 6 months later. And I think that really painted a picture of the type of person Aisling was. And I think last week somebody else said that she became our sister, our friend, our daughter.
I can't imagine the pain her family and her friends are going through at the moment. And we hold them in our hearts because that's all we can do. And for those little first classers, where's Miss Murphy? It's heartbreaking. It is. And for me, actually, it took me back to feelings of real vulnerability, sadness and anger in London around this time last year at the death of Sarah Everard. And at the time, because of COVID, there was restrictions around the vigil. And there was then some issues with the police at a vigil that went ahead regardless at Clapham Common. And so it was so special for me and for the other 2,000 people that were at the London Irish Centre in Camden on Saturday to gather as a community in solidarity at a time like this of sadness. There was so many men there in support of us as women and supporting their partners, which was really heartening for me to see. I can remember after Sarah Everard died, feeling like it could have been so easily could have been me. I've had a few drinks. I've decided to take the high road instead of taking a taxi home on a night out. And I felt like shame that I would put my life at risk like that. And then I felt angry at the shame because I felt like, why do I have to feel unsafe on the streets? That's not fair to me or any woman to have to watch over your shoulder or have your phone ready to call somebody in emergency. And I remember looking at the police with anger here in London, and I remember feeling contempt for men in general. And sitting with that, Georgie, and sitting with the how shit it made me feel and how angry I was. And actually, where I got to in that was connecting back to love. Connecting with women at a women's group I have at work, and us sharing our thoughts. Speaking to the men I love in my life. And, you know, let's watch out for each other. Like, let's connect and show up on each other's doorsteps if we feel like we need the support. That's what Aisling Murphy has taught me.
Yeah. I saw this tweet that that we shouldn't turn this into a movement because she was someone's sister and someone's daughter. And, you know, there needs to be time to grieve. But I think when I was standing at the vigil with Jamie and my mum, and Pia came along too, I remember I was speaking to her and saying, you will never be forgotten. Wow. We will never let you be forgotten. And I think we all have fire in our belly now to make change and to educate and to have these conversations and to keep talking. And she is going to change Ireland forever. I know she will. So we must never let Aisling be forgotten. And I'm absolutely devastated for her friends and family and everyone who knew her. And I think it was important for us to open up this podcast to pay our respects and to send everyone who knew Aisling so much love today.
This has been a really difficult and challenging week for us all, I think. What did you do to take care of yourself this week, George?
Well, I definitely took a few days off social media, off work as well. I didn't work on Thursday or Friday, which is something that I never do. But for the next couple of weeks, I promised myself that every Friday I would do something to kind of fill me up. So I went to my first ever acupuncture session, and I actually asked my followers over the weekend if they'd ever been to acupuncture. I was curious to know. I was blown away by the amount of people who have turned to acupuncture for various reasons. I got so many messages from women who use it during IVF, who have said it helped them conceive. I also got messages from people who said it didn't help them conceive and it didn't help them with their fertility journey. There was a real mixture of responses. And the day after acupuncture, I'd never been before, I had no idea what to expect. I went into the room and I asked for a detox and for general wellness. I didn't say anything too specific. And I really enjoyed the hour. I was kind of, my mind was racing a little bit. I was a little bit nervous going into it. But around 24 hours later, I got this really severe earache. Again, put it out on social media, half joking, saying, am I healing or is this a coincidence? And hundreds of messages back from people to say that I was healing. And people were speaking about this thing called a healing crisis.
Wow.
And I looked it up because I'd never heard of a healing crisis before.
No.
And it's basically a wide range of symptoms which may occur during the course of healing. So I'm going back on Friday. I'm interested to ask her if my earache had anything to do with our session. I do feel a little bit more relaxed, but sure, you just don't know if that's kind of placebo or not.
Yes.
But I'm going to continue. Some of the feedback we got from the first episode where you spoke about your date and asking yourself, will you be a mom? Is this the path for me? We got some incredible feedback on it. How did you feel? Like, even when I was editing the podcast afterwards, I was like, this is a huge thing for you to say out loud.
It was massive. I went on a date just before Christmas and I met a guy who asked me some really challenging questions about having babies. Like, why haven't you had them yet? Or, you know, are you going to go it alone? I found it really triggering. And I guess turning 41 in January earlier this month, I have to just face it. I'm not in a relationship, you know, I'm not in a place where it's likely I'm going to conceive a baby or even attempt to in the next year. So I felt much stronger after having the conversation and feeling ultimately very vulnerable at the idea of sharing what was going on. But then having got some really good messages from people, I was like, oh, it's that lovely feeling of not being alone. So I have a couple of messages here, which I'd love to share with you.
Oh, yeah.
So first message says, I lost my womb 2 years ago at 42. A lot of issues, so a decision had to be made. We thought about IVF, but didn't have the money, and the same with surrogacy. Through therapy and since I let go of expectations I had laden on myself as a woman, I've accepted it is what it is. I didn't meet my husband till I was 37 and he had kids grown up now. So it's been an interesting but self-discovering journey. Age is a number. One is not too old and it's never too late. I truly feel the right situation presents itself when divine timing is right.
Wow. Did you get that on Instagram? Yeah. Love
Isn't
it.
Isn't that great? Oh, that really inspired me. And then a second message. Hi, I was so caught up with getting into my 30s and not having someone. I was waiting for my knight in shining armor to arrive and fix me and make me feel loved. Hello, that's me. I worked on myself the last 2 years and last July I felt a shift. I stopped worrying about meeting someone. I started dating to hear all about someone else's life rather than looking for a husband. Not long into dating, with that view, I met an amazing guy. It was as soon as I started enjoying the little things and stopped expecting massive things to happen in my life that everything fell into place. So those were two of the amazing messages I got. The most emotional thing that happened for me was that my sister, my real soul sister, Ruth, sent me an email. Okay, so I'll try and get through this without getting too emotional. I've paraphrased what Ruth said, but basically she said, if you want to try and go it alone, you and your baby can come and live with us for maternity leave. If you need to go back to London for work for a few days at a time, your baba can stay with us. We are your B team, your support crew. I would be a horrendous birthing partner, but I'll do my best to help any way I can. Same with Franco, that's her partner, not his strong suit. We'll do an old whip around to get you a doula, or your friend Laura could probably be your birthing partner. Don't worry, I will fish the poos out of your birthing pool.
Thank you, sister.
Now that's a soul sister.
Wow, 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 wow. So that email from your sister, had you discussed this with your sister before?
No, like my sister is an earth mother who's had two boys and didn't struggle to conceive and has been with Frank for about 10 years now. So I honestly don't think I would have ever been able to have a conversation like that with her or get to that point. So what I will do is just encourage you to be more vulnerable. You know, to connect on a deeper level with those who love you, to just shed the shame and the shackles that we as women put on ourselves, you know, the conditioning, and just have deep and meaningful conversations with each other and just see what comes of it.
So do you think because you said that out loud first, that that gave her permission to bring it up?
100%.
So it's like that interaction with him has brought you to this conversation with your sister.
That's it.
Which is amazing, isn't it?
Yes. So actually, I need to look back at that guy and say, thank you. And the learning here is those difficult situations that we shy away from or the emotions that make us feel bad in the moment, don't numb them, don't reject them, feel them because they lead to expansion and learning.
So Claire, a mutual friend of ours, Aideen Finnegan, I was on her podcast, How to Pivot, at the start of the year. And basically her podcast is about people who change careers. And I was on just chatting about working in radio and going to start a podcast and becoming a health coach. And one of the questions she asked me was about time. And she said, you know, for many people, especially in January, like things are frantic again. We're often running around after other people all of the time. And how do we make time for ourselves? So I wanted to give us just a few little pointers today on how we can manage time in a more effective way. So this is really fascinating, this list. So the first thing to do is to infuse your day with time by remembering to breathe. So you can handle things, as we all know, when you are calmer. So there's so many incidents throughout the day where we forget to breathe or we get ourselves into that fight or flight. You know, even sometimes just thinking about my to-do list puts me into fight or flight mode. So if we can start to breathe and calm ourselves down, we'll be better equipped to face things.
I discovered not so long ago that I hold my breath. I hold my breath so that I am not giving my brain and my body full functionality all of the time. So this is a great reminder.
Yeah, deep I think breaths. Holding your breath is kind of, it's like a coping mechanism, isn't it? So number two is to change the way you talk about time. So instead of saying, I have no time, you need to repeat the affirmations. I create time. I have as much time as I need. The third thing, now this is going to be hard. Uh-oh. Write down how you spend your time every day.
No.
No. This is going to give you a real sense of, oh, actually, I spend 3 hours on the couch at night flicking through Netflix. Could I do something differently with my time there? Or, you know, I sleep in till 8 a.m. Could I get up maybe 20 minutes earlier and give myself a little bit of time? So I think that's a really tough step for people.
Oh, that scares me to death. It's just like, you know, the alerts you get on iPhones that tell
you. Oh, don't tell. No, I can't even.
And like, what annoys me about it is, right, it comes up and it says, you spent an extra however long screen time this week is up by 22%. And the thing about it is, right, I don't even keep track of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't keep track of it in the moment, but I don't remember what last week's alert told me. So I see it on a Monday morning. Oh, your screen time was up this week, Claire. My God damn it. I'm a bad person.
I know. It's horrific. It's so horrific. Okay. And I know that's like really triggering for so many people because it makes them feel really bad about
it
themselves.
It does.
Okay, so we're gonna help people figure this out. So the next thing to do is write down the top five things you care about. So, you know, I care about authentic friendships. I care about being present for Pia. I care about living a long and healthy life. And then when you list off those things, you can see, you know, how you prioritize your time. So I want a long and healthy life. So what am I doing with my time to invest in that? For a long and healthy life, I should be exercising more. Am I spending enough time exercising? And you can kind of go from there. Number five, focus on three primary projects per day. So in order of the most important things, write down your top three tasks. Now, you could have seven things on that list, but make sure to highlight what your top three priority is. And finally, Claire, you have to do the most challenging task first.
No, no.
Yes.
No.
None of you are going sauntering down the road for your oat flat white saying hello to everyone in London. If you have to focus on your most challenging task first. So for me, when I'm in season with the good glow, often an edit takes me a good few hours. And I wake up on a Tuesday and I go, do you know what? I'm going to have a lovely day. I'm going to do it on Wednesday. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, I go, do you know what? I'm actually going to do this now and do my edit. I'm going to do it on Thursday. And then, do you know what happens? Often on a Saturday morning. I'm editing that podcast.
Oh my God.
So you're going to make a list of things that you want to prioritize in your day. And then we're going to do the most challenging one first. And I just wanted to mention that little piece on time,
yeah,
because I know for lots of people, it's a really, it's a tough thing. And we all need to work on it. I mean, I need to work on these things, but it's good to have them in a list so we can kind of navigate our way through it.
We can do hard things.
Turn off your screen time alerts. Another fascinating thing that we were going to talk about and that we've both come across over the last couple of years is morning pages, Claire.
Morning pages. So if you haven't heard of morning pages before, it's basically journaling first thing in the morning. You wake up in the morning and you write 3 pages of whatever's in your head. It's designed, it's an exercise to clear your mind. It's actually meditation, really, in a sense, because it's designed to help you start your day the best way. So you literally just put whatever is in your mind down on 3 pages and you walk away. You do not read them back. It's not a diary that you're going to leaf through again for some reason. It's just an exercise in mindfulness and meditation.
What I love about morning pages, and I've yet to do it because I don't feel like I have the time in the morning, but the lady behind it, Julia Cameron, has spoken that this morning pages puts you into a creative space and you actually become more productive throughout your day. So you're getting down all your thoughts. It could be, I forgot to go to the pet shop yesterday. Jamie is being slightly annoying this morning. Whatever it may be, you just get it down on paper and then that puts you into a creative space for the rest of your day.
Julia Cameron wrote The Artist's Way, which is where morning pages came from. It's one of the exercises in her book which unblocks creativity. So people like Liz Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, said without The Artist's Way, there would have been no Eat, Pray, Love. Alicia Keys uses it. And Kerry Washington said it completely changed her life. Now, you and I have talked about this before. I would love to think that I'm somebody who could get up and make space for writing or journaling in the morning. But you and I have two kind of opposing worries. Mine is, I believe that when I write stuff down, I'm letting it go. And it's that's good for me and it's good for everybody in my life. What I'm worried about is if anybody ever picks up that journal.
Because you don't want people to read your deepest, darkest thoughts.
Yes, I don't want people. So I think this goes back to me at 15, right? My mom was a teacher. So I was often pupilled rather than parented. And my mum knew exactly what was going on. From an early age, she was suspicious and her suspicions were generally right. So where did she go looking for information on her 15-year-old daughter? Well, the diary, of course. So mortified, like I actually could get into a fetal position now at what she probably read about, you know, Alco Pops and frigging in that diary.
Oh my God.
But I always remember my mum saying to me, Claire, it's as simple as don't write something down you don't want read. And that has stuck with me since that, like 25, 26 years later, I'm still in fear. So do you not think that Jamie might just go and pick it up and read it? Or would you not mind?
My fear of writing things down, and I'm really, it's one of my, it's on my list of the work that I want to do this year. So I was afraid that if you write something down, that it means it's true or you're bringing it into your life. Like if I write down that I'm scared about something, that I'm inviting that into my life. But the more I've read about morning pages and listened to interviews with Julia, I've realized that what she says is that by writing it down, you're almost taking its power away.
Yes.
So you're acknowledging it. And that makes a lot of sense to me. So yeah, morning pages is interesting. I'm going to start to do it. I probably won't do it every single day, but I would like to do something that puts me into a creative space. So I'm going to give it a go.
So why don't we make a deal then? that we do it this week, not every day, but a couple of days a week, and come back and give some post-match analysis on how we feel.
Okay. And if anyone wants to read more about Morning Pages, I'll leave a link in the episode show notes so that people can click in, read about it themselves and see if it's something for them. So Claire, I really want to tell you about Vichy's hero product. I've been using Mineral 89, Vichy's iconic hydration serum, for the last year, and it's an absolute game changer.
You had me at hydration.
Okay, so it's enriched with hyaluronic acid and 89% Vichy volcanic water, which is naturally found, you guessed it, in French volcanoes. And it has 15 minerals essential to good skin health. So this is like a drink for your skin. It's a light gel serum which gives you an immediate glow. It's suitable for everybody. And for the best results, I use it after cleansing morning and night.
Okay, I'm sold. Now make it worth my while. Tell me you have a discount code.
Of course. For a 20% discount on all Mineral 89 products, you can use the discount code SOULSISTERS20 online only at marspharmacy.ie. Until midnight, March 31st. So something people really enjoyed from the first episode of Soul Sisters was our recommends. I recommended some fruit and veg that was in season. You recommended
Fern Cotton's Happy Place episode. Yes. With Rhonda Byrne, who wrote The Secret.
Yeah. So this week I wanted to recommend a book that you told me about, Claire, called Untamed by Glennon Doyle. Oh, this book is special. Glennon Doyle is an American author. She was married to a man called Craig. They had three children. And she used to get up really early in the morning to write her blog. And she used to hide in her wardrobe. And she gave up watching TV at night. She made that sacrifice of getting up before all of her kids, you know, having some peace and quiet. And those blogs became her first book. So Untamed is her third book, and I absolutely love it. So it's called Untamed, Stop Pleasing, Start Living. So this is a book that I think lots of Soul Sisters would get a lot out of. And this is the book that Adele spoke about that she said changed her life.
Yes.
And then it kind of became like a cult classic. Everyone started to go out and buy it. And it's full of really interesting insights into women and how we cope and who we're told to be. Mm. I opened it this morning just to see some of the things that I underlined. And on page 6, it says, which of my beliefs are of my own creation and which were programmed into me? Who was I before I became who the world told me to be?
Cute.
So I think if anyone is looking for a book for January, this is gorgeous.
Do you know what I love about Glennon Doyle as well? Glennon Doyle tells stories to illustrate her points. So one of the stories I love from Untamed about conditioning, and it's conditioning for men and women, is a story of when Glennon's kids had their friends over. And so she walked into...
Oh,
good, isn't it?
Yes.
She walks into the lounge and she's like, kids, kids. And they're all kind of teens at this point. And she's like, kids, kids, who wants food? And Chase is her son. So all the boys immediately go, yeah. The girls have this like completely different response to her. They all don't look at her. They look at one girl in particular who becomes the spokesperson. And that's, by the way, she's not been nominated. She's telepathically nominated. Mm-hmm. So they all look at her, and then she turns and looks at Glennon and says, no, thanks, we're fine. And Glennon was like, whoa. The boys now, in her mind, the boys actually went inside themselves, decided that they were hungry, and then went, yeah, response to that is, I want to be fed. The girls needed a consensus among themselves to say, do we eat now? And then by the looks of it, no, we don't. And so then the spokesperson says, no, thank you.
We can all relate to that, right? Oh. Like that's, wow, it's so powerful. And that's what I love about Untamed, because like you said, it's just stories. It's just experience.
Absolutely. And even better, Georgie, there's a podcast.
There's always a podcast.
There's always a podcast. There's a podcast. So if you fancy just dipping your toe into the world of Glennon Doyle, start with the Instagram, then hit the podcast. The podcast is called We Can Do Hard Things. And they talk about, you know, everything. Self-care, to anxiety, to sex, to everything that we need to talk about, everything that we need to have real conversations about. And so I've one episode that I'd really like to recommend if you're going to dip into We Can Do Hard Things. And it is the self-care episode. It's number 8. And it's early on in her seasons of the podcast. But basically, they're talking about self-care. And I think what happens sometimes when you start a self-care journey is you think self-care is the outside stuff. It's the aesthetics. You know, it's exercise, it's getting your nails done, it's having a massage. But actually, in this episode, they talk about self-care is on the inside. So there are levels of self-care. The hard self-care, everyone, is doing the work. So taking yourself to therapy, getting yourself a coach, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, do you know what? Things could be better in my life. I'm going to pick up the phone and change. I'm going to invest, and it's going to be difficult to begin with, but then I will reap the rewards and have a joyful existence. The next level of self-care is the simple stuff. It's taking it back to basics. So it's going out and, like, you're having a bad day, you're in a funk, you've had a fight with your fella or your partner, and you're like, the kids are really wrecking your head. It's stepping outside. It's getting your feet in the grass. It's taking a walk. It's getting yourself a coffee. And that's exactly what this podcast is all about. Helping you identify what brings you joy. Where's the joy button? Where's the list of stuff? So what they do talk about is the list of stuff that we do to numb ourselves. So, you know, for me, it would have been booze. It could be food. It could be sex. It could be online shopping. How much stuff's in your Amazon cart right now, guys? And then she's talking about then on the other side of it, the little things you can do to feel better instead of fixed. So have a glass of water, go for a cold water swim.
What I loved about that podcast, that episode in particular, was when she said, you know, doing the work is, it's hard at the time, but you know that you'll feel better afterwards. So, you know, getting into the sea for me is not an enjoyable experience sometimes, because I really have to dig deep to get into the cold water. But I know that I'm going to feel better afterwards. I know I'm going to be putting out a different energy into the world. Another great part of that podcast is the conversation they have about young men. And I think that we are going to see this, especially after the death of Ashley Murphy, bigger conversation about how boys are being raised. And I've seen some of my friends with sons already starting to think about this and talk about this. And it's amazing to see. But Glennon speaks on this podcast about how boys are often told not to talk about their feelings. And I think it's a really important conversation that we all need to be having at this time.
Totally agree with you. She talks about the conditioning of boys as well as girls. So to go back to the lounge where the boys were like, yeah, I want food. They've been conditioned to shout loud and to be hungry. That's what boys are told to be. And so that's where they responded. They actually didn't go into their heads or their hearts and ask, were they hungry? Or they just gave the answer that boys should give. So I 100% agree with you. We need to communicate and connect as people.
So this is one of my favorite features on Soul Sisters, where we call for a takeaway. And today we are calling our friend, intuitive healer, Sinead Dehora, and she's going to tell us about the full moon that happened last night.
Yes, we had our first full moon in 2020, and oh my God, what a powerhouse it is. This moon is bringing out our fierceness. It's bringing out our inner power. It's giving us time to reevaluate what's important to us. It's bringing about an energy of transformation, of rebirthing. And I actually had a visit from an angel last week, Angel Archangel Ariel, who is the energy of this fierceness. And she was really talking about this moon, saying that it is going to show up things that you no longer want to or to carry. So don't be surprised if you have been feeling, and you will feel over the next week, that you have to rejig your boundary, so to speak. So maybe you're getting fed up with certain habits that you used to be doing, or maybe you want to change roles or change career, or you're finding new hobbies. This is a time to really get focused on your goals, to really get focused on what is important to you and for you. And as you align with this energy, you bring about change, you bring about excitement, you bring about that transformation. So just take a moment and listen to your body, and perhaps you want to tune in every day by placing your hand on your heart or placing your hand on your body and simply just asking, what's important for my heart right now? What does it need? What can I do to really align my intention with my goals? And how can I live in that fierceness energy, that power energy within me? And how can I claim that power energy by moving forward with my passion and purpose?
And Sinead also has an angel deck that I absolutely love. So I have asked her to pull a card for all of us today.
Oh, so I just pulled a card 7 from the Siva Signs Oracle deck. And 7 is a really high spiritual number. And I actually pulled this yesterday too on the full moon. So there is a message here. There is power in this. This is a card to really remind you to come back to your intuition. Like I said earlier on, by just being aware, being consciously aware of what's going on in your life, being consciously aware of what's going on in your mind, be consciously aware of what your body and energy needs. And this is a time to just take note of, again, what's important to you. So again, look at the synchronicities. Look at the synchronicity with this card that's showing up to remind you to listen to your intuition. Look at the synchronicities that it's showing up in the time of the full moon. Again, the full moon aligning with what's important to you. So this time over the next week, let that be your true question. Whether it comes to nutrition, movement, hobbies, people, conversations, simply ask, is this important for my spiritual growth or my goals and my passion? And only allow your heart to follow that. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I love the name. Congratulations again, ladies.
Oh, love that stuff. For more, you can find Sinead on Instagram at Sinead Dehora.
So that's it, Claire, another week of Soul Sisters.
Really enjoyed that episode, and I'm really enjoying this experience. I feel like we're connecting with all of our soul sisters. Our community is building, and that's exactly what we want to do, isn't it, with this podcast? It's like, let's have conversations that maybe we haven't been having, but we know we want to have. So if there's something you'd like to talk about, or you'd like us to talk about, get in touch with us on Instagram. I'm at Claire Solon and Georgie is Georgie.Crawford.
I hope you all have a lovely week ahead. And just to remind you that the Good Glow's latest course, Rise and Thrive, is now live. It seems to have really struck a chord with people as they set their intentions and goals for the new year. We're getting some absolutely incredible feedback. So if you'd like to avail of our early bird offer, head over to thegoodglow.ie now, where you'll pick up the course for €69. Talk to you soon.